No one likes to be called a conspiracy theorist. It's a pejorative term. And yet it's important to distinguish a conspiracy theory from a rigorous analysis of the evidence. The characteristic feature of a conspiracy theory is, as Richard Hofstadter put it, the big leap from the undeniable to the unbelievable, which is a nice turn of phrase, but it's hard to get people to agree on where that line is, especially when they believe a theory with almost religious intensity. I discovered that at a public event on 9/11 several years ago. For the 10th anniversary of the attacks on September 11th, 2001, the 9/11 Memorial staff in Lower Manhattan organized a series of panel discussions led by academics and open to the public. There were panels on the architecture of the memorial, on volunteerism after 9/11, and various other non-controversial topics. And then there was my panel on 9/11 conspiracy theories. The flyer advertising the event said we would discuss, quote, the psychological underpinnings of these theories, their historical roles in shaping public opinion, and how we should view or evaluate their relevance today. There was a healthy turnout, with most of the seats occupied. I gave a short talk on the history of the 9/11 truth movement. The panelists tried to emphasize the reasons that many Americans would question the truthfulness of the George W. Bush administration, but we did not support the idea that the Bush administration actually planned 9/11 or knew about it in advance. Throughout the event, the audience was polite and quiet, and then we took questions. It turned out that many people in the audience had come with the goal of challenging the whole idea of analyzing 9/11 conspiracy theories, because, in their view, there were no 9/11 conspiracy theories. There was only 9/11 truth. And this truth, they believed, was not accurately represented at the 9/11 Memorial or Museum or on this panel. The questioners got so intense and angry that the moderator of the panel decided to end it abruptly. Security had to escort me and my fellow panelist out of the building. Then we stood awkwardly on the sidewalk for several minutes as the guard tried to hail a cab, and protesters stood around us in a clump, waving their signs at us. The people in the audience that night did not want me to analyze them or put their beliefs in historical context. They didn't want me to test their theory. They just wanted me to acknowledge their truth. I'm Catherine Olmsted, and this is State of Conspiracy. In our final episode, I'm joined today by Daily Beast reporter Will Sommer to explore one of today's most passionate groups of truth seekers, QAnon. First of all, Will, thank you very much for doing this. I've been reading your stories, and they're just terrific. So thanks a lot for taking the time to do this.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. I appreciate you having me on.
So can you explain to us what QAnon is?
Okay, so QAnon is sort of a mega conspiracy theory that rolls in a lot of earlier conspiracy theories. It started in October 2017 with a series of anonymous posts made on the anonymous message board 4chan by a character calling himself or themselves Q. These clues were very cryptic, and they said things like, Huma Abedin, Hillary Clinton, arrested, Guantanamo Bay. And so they almost read sort of like secret transmissions. And a lot of Trump supporters glommed onto this and became convinced this was someone high up in the Trump administration who was revealing clues about sort of a secret world, very different from what we see in the news. But essentially, the way to sum it up is that QAnon posits a world in which high-ranking kind of global elites in this nefarious cabal in Hollywood, the media, the Democratic Party, banking, are pedophiles and possibly cannibals. And this cabal has sort of been responsible for all the evil in the world going back at least 100 years. And that Donald Trump has sort of secretly teamed up with the military and is engaged in a sort of shadow war with the cabal that's different from essentially anything that we're seeing in the actual news.
So do you have any sense of how many people believe this?
So it can sometimes be difficult to get figures on conspiracy theory believers. I think often the best examples we can see are at Trump rallies. After it broke into the news in August 2018, I believe there was a poll taken around that time that said roughly 15% of Republicans believed in it, which may not seem like a large number, but given the sort of bizarre claims made by QAnon, certainly is worrying.
So there are a lot of crazy conspiracy theories on these message boards. Why did this particular one take off?
I think there's a couple elements that makes QAnon a little bit different from a lot of other conspiracy theories. Just for Trump supporters in general, the appeal of QAnon is that, you know, during the Trump campaign, Trump was making a lot of big promises. And, you know, frankly, a lot of that stuff hasn't happened. And QAnon offers them a sort of alternate storyline that is much more exciting and sort of poses that Trump is constantly winning.
So does President Trump encourage this theory?
Trump has never himself acknowledged QAnon and said, you know, this is true, this is fake, what have you. But the Trump campaign has sort of been grappling with how to handle QAnon people, as me and one of my colleagues at the Daily Beast recently wrote about a few weeks back. So on one hand, these are like the biggest Trump diehards out there. I mean, they essentially, they think Trump is engaged in this grand battle against the greatest evils of the world. And so that, you know, on one hand, these are very energized voters. On the other hand, a lot of what they say is absolutely nuts. And so and that would certainly turn off voters were Trump to say, oh, yeah, I am doing this. But I think the Trump campaign and many of his surrogates have been engaged in this sort of dance with QAnon believers in which they don't outright denounce them, although that would be the easiest thing in the world to do. But instead, they encourage them in some ways. So, for example, Trump often retweets very explicit QAnon accounts on Twitter. And so these accounts aren't saying, you know, when he retweets them, they aren't making some QAnon claim, but he is retweeting them and obviously providing them with more validation and publicity. And at the same time, QAnon believers, I should say, are absolutely obsessed with getting approval from Trump. And what they really want is for him to – they're always looking for clues and trying to see – a way that he is sort of sending them a code that it's all real. So they'll look at his hand motions at rallies and be like, oh, I think he's making a Q, you know, because he's moving his hands around. Or they'll see him tweet something 17 times or something. And, of course, Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet. And they say, you know, that's proof. You know, the other thing, I mean, kind of more practically, Trump has not distanced himself from a lot of QAnon promoters. A couple months ago, he had a White House social media summit where he invited various kind of Trump internet characters to the White House. Several of those people are really diehard QAnon fans and promoters of it. You know, one of them, cartoonist Ben Garrison, has drawn cartoons promoting QAnon and only had his White House invitation rescinded after someone pointed out that he had made a really anti-Semitic cartoon. I think the White House at this point is certainly aware of this. Whether Trump himself is unclear. While they publicly won't go on the record and say, you know, QAnon's fake or we're trying to promote QAnon, they certainly have not done much to distance themselves from it.
You mentioned the deep state, and that's very intriguing to me. Can you explain to me what they mean by the deep state and how this feeds into the QAnon theories?
Absolutely. So there's this sense that, you know, obviously the initial discussion of the deep state grows out of the idea, this concept of a sort of bureaucratic national security apparatus that is, you know, not really responsible or affected by changes in government and sort of operates as its own government. Now, in the Trump campaign and especially during the Mueller investigation, the right created this counter-narrative to the Mueller-Russia investigation with this idea that basically everything that happened bad to Trump, especially something national security related, was a sort of betrayal of the deep state. So this relatively obscure concept about the government has in the Trump era become something that people are hearing about every night on Fox News.
Conspiracy theories often stem from a grain of truth. Are there any potential truths that QAnon supporters have latched onto and taken to an extreme?
Sure. I mean, you know, I think one example here would be the Jeffrey Epstein case. So a lot of QAnon, as I mentioned, relies on this idea that there are these incredibly powerful global elites who are sexually abusing children. And as we saw with Jeffrey Epstein, now, admittedly, that case had started, I believe, almost a decade before Epstein was arrested the most recent time. So the idea that QAnon or Q was sort of zeroing in on Epstein as a figure is not so much indicative of Q's prophetic abilities as it is that, you know, this person was able to sort of just go back in the archives and pull this story. But, you know, certainly everything we've seen from that does seem to suggest that there was you know, a lot of questionable decisions made by the government in the initial Epstein investigation, and certainly that Epstein himself was committing some crimes, some heinous ones, and so, and that perhaps he had powerful friends, so that kind of stuff, QAnon believers will latch onto, and then they'll see something that's true or appears to have elements of truth to it, and they latch onto that, and then they kind of blow it out in this way that then suggests that there's this this massive conspiracy theory that we're not seeing.
So you said there are factions. Are there some factions that have what you would call more believable theories and others that are completely absurd?
Yeah. So a lot of the drama within QAnon world focuses on, I would say, people who are almost more respectability-oriented QAnon promoters. And these are often the people who are making the most money off of it or have the best connections to Trump world, sort of fighting to marginalize the people whose QAnon beliefs are even more outlandish. And, you know, it becomes this whole thing, you know, kind of the most elaborate QAnon stuff becomes, the global elites, they're lizard people, all this kind of stuff. So it draws in a lot of disparate groups.
So is the absurdity part of the appeal?
I think because it is so ridiculous, it can be very alienating to have a family member who gets into QAnon, and then there becomes a lot of pressure. I've talked to people whose parents have gotten into QAnon, whose partners have gotten into it, and then suddenly it's sort of like this contradiction of, from the QAnon person's point of view, they're living with someone who's kind of blind to the real ways of the world and sort of hasn't joined into this kind of cosmic battle. But, of course, from the other person's point of view, you know, it's difficult to have a relationship with someone who believes so many farcical and sometimes dangerous things. So, for example, I was at this QAnon rally, and this couple that's been very prominent in QAnon promotion, they said, well, essentially our kids said, we're not going to talk to you until Trump is out of office because you're so crazy about this QAnon stuff. And they said, well, you know, we miss our kids, but we really love Trump more. And, they're talking about sort of disowning their children, essentially, over QAnon. So, in that way, you can see that it becomes almost like its own family in this sense that the people who have signed on to it have sacrificed things because of their admittedly ludicrous beliefs. And so as a result that they sort of cling to one another all the more.
Is it more accurate to call it a cult or a religion or a belief system than a conspiracy theory?
I think there's varying degrees of QAnon commitment. Again, there are people who go to actual cult meetings and talk about QAnon. There are some Trump supporters who just seem to think of it as like a funny thing to say that like angers liberals. That they'll say the slogans like where we go one, we go all. They almost see it like just another version of Make America Great Again.
Crooked Minis is brought to you by Sleep Number. It's the 100th year of the NFL. More than 1,800 NFL players are now sleeping on Sleep Number beds. I did not know that. Because everyone's Sleep Number needs are different, Sleep Number 360 smart beds with Sleep IQ technology sense your movement and automatically adjust firmness, comfort, and support to keep you both sleeping comfortably. Find your Sleep Number setting for your best possible night's sleep. Sleep Number beds allow you to adjust each side to
unless I'm in John's bed, then that's 7-8.
Ideal firmness, comfort, and support. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you sleeping comfortably throughout that night. With Sleep IQ technology,
I don't like this being all the way on my own side.
Inside the bed, it tracks how you are sleeping, so you know how every morning how well you slept, and you gain insights.
We're not an old married couple. It's still fresh.
Experience the smart, effortless comfort of the Sleep Number 360 smart bed. Find your competitive edge with proven quality sleep from $999. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest you at sleepnumber.com/crookedminis.
Crooked Minis is brought to you by Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high-interest credit card debt. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you, and they understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. The best part? Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day. Over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/crookedminis to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/crookedminis.
Is there something that interferes with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. Get help on your own time and at your own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your therapist. BetterHelp's licensed professional counselors are specialized in depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, sleeping, trauma, and self-esteem. Anything you share is confidential. If you are not happy with your counselor for any reason, you can request a new one at any time, no additional charge. This is not a crisis line. BetterHelp has 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states with 4 communication modes, text, chat, phone, and video. It took me 3 tries to say that. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. Best of all, it's a truly affordable option. Crooked Minis listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code CROOKEDMINIS. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/crookedminis. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/crookedminis.
Crooked Minis is brought to you by Credo Mobile. Do you stand for women's rights and for the environment? There's a phone company that stands with you, Credo Mobile. Credo Mobile is the only phone company in America that supports the same causes you do. Causes like fighting to stop climate change, protecting reproductive rights, and standing for immigrant rights.
Credo just voted to impeach the president.
Credo Biden. In fact, Credo donates $150,000 every month to grooms like Rainforest Action Network, Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, and many more. That's great. Credo is just as opposed as you are to Donald Trump's agenda. And those other phone companies, they love Trump's agenda. They're cozening up to Trump. They're spending millions in his hotels. They're trying to push through mega mergers.
More like MAGA Mobile. You know what I mean?
They're funding right-wing politicians. You make choices every day about where to spend your money. Shouldn't your mobile phone be one of those choices? Switch to Credo Mobile now, and you'll get a year of Ben and Jerry's ice cream on us, not me, on Credo. A pint a month for 12 months. You'll also get coverage on the nation's best and most awarded 4G LTE network, along with low rates and a complete selection of smartphones, including the latest models from the top brands. Ready to switch? Just enter the offer code MINI at checkout or go to credo.com/mini. That's credo.com/mini.
Is it linked to other far-right conspiracy theories?
Yeah, it very much is. And in many ways, I think we would see more conspiracy theories in the Trump era being embraced by Trump supporters, but instead they sort of get molded into QAnon. I think for whatever reason, people who get drawn to various conspiracy theories often find an echo of the thing they're originally interested in QAnon, and that's what gets them into it.
So conspiracy theories often have an element of gender or race or class. Do you see any of that in QAnon?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I think just like with Trump supporters in general, I think the vast majority of the people here are white. They skew older. They often are perhaps not college educated, more working class, blue collar folks, certainly the ones who turn out to rallies.
So occasionally when I talk about this to people, people who are lucky enough not to have the kind of internet searches that take them to QAnon all the time, they say to me, well, really, why should we care? It's just so ludicrous. It's so absurd. Surely no one really believes this. Why should we pay attention at all? What would you say to those people?
I think there's a couple of reasons that I think people who sort of care about the future of the country and about democracy in this country. First of all, as I mentioned, the fact that there are now several violent incidents that have been tied to this. At the point where people are being killed, I think the general public deserves to know about it. And frankly, I think should pay attention to it.
So what does the spread of this theory tell us about the current state of our culture and our politics?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of QAnon, as I think with a lot of the current conspiracy theories we see, my mind instantly goes to anti-vaccine stuff. I think part of it is the result of decades-long attacks, particularly on the right, against sort of credible institutions, you know, whether that be academia, science, the courts, or the media. And so, you know, this decades of saying sort of like you can only trust Republicans and conservative media have created this sense with many on the right that, you know, maybe the world as it is, this so-called establishment really is lying about the state of the world, and that maybe JFK Jr. did fake his death, or maybe lizard people run the central bank. Unfortunately, I think when you constantly tell people everyone's lying to them, you know, maybe they'll believe it, or that everything has sort of an equal level of credibility. Eventually, an anonymous person or people calling themselves Q, they'll be believed as well.
So some real government conspiracies in the past have given credence to these anti-government conspiracy theories in the present.
Right. I mean, it that's it as well, right? I mean, you know, whether it's Iran-Contra, the Gulf of Tonkin incident, just going back decades and more than that, because the government has acted in some very deceptive and disreputable ways, that sort of just adds more fuel to QAnon believers who are looking for evidence that it's real.
So what can we do?
I think on one hand, I think there's a large segment of QAnon people who are going to believe it forever, whether Trump loses in 2020 or leaves office in 2024. I think they're always going to see that there's, you know, some sort of plot, whether, you know, at the ballot box or something, the deep state is undermining Trump's plans. I think they're always going to feel that way. On the other hand, I think sort of as Trumpism inevitably fades, I think these people are going to – some people are going to kind of fall out of it. Certainly – so 8chan, the site where Q has been posting, had been posting for at least a year and was sort of the key thing is Q has to have a place to post where people will know it's him. And so when 8chan went down in early August because it lost some tech support it needed because it lost it after yet another – after the El Paso shooter's manifesto was posted to the site. So 8chan being down for almost 2 months now has made it really hard for QAnon believers to congregate. And so, they can't meet on Reddit because Reddit banned them. The efforts to deplatform these sites have certainly been successful to the extent of making it harder for QAnon to spread. I don't know. People get really into it. It can be kind of grim. I mean, I think, people have obviously talked about the possibility of, media education to teach people to treat media outlets or even Fox News, with reports from them with more credibility than literally one anonymous person just talking total nonsense. I think it's a very complicated issue. And I think for people who are really hardcore into it already, I think it can be tough.
Do you have a sense that these people were gathering in rallies about other anti-government conspiracy theories before QAnon? I mean, were they going to, say, birther rallies, or has this energized a group of people who previously had sort of been off the political map?
So it's a combination. I think there's different factions. I mean, I think there's kind of hardcore conspiracy theory people or people who are always really interested in political activism. A lot of a section of QAnon people, for example, sort of spring from Occupy Wall Street, interestingly enough.
Really?
Yeah, sort of people who become involved in, this is sort of unfair to Occupy Wall Street, but becoming, familiar with more sort of non-traditional forms of activism. And that they then sort of kind of circle in various spheres for a while and generally, often with some good reason, distrust, the financial system or the government.
So you see it sort of as a fusion theory of some extreme left as well as the extreme right.
Right. I mean, I would say the vast majority is extreme right, but it's also sometimes people who are, for example, there's no question that a lot of that some anti-vaccine stuff is springing from the left. Mm-hmm. And so then that kind of draws people into it. I mean, I would still say that the vast majority of QAnon support comes just from really like mainline Trump people who have sort of fallen into this internet hole. So again, it is a combination of, people who have always been into conspiracy theories and are now getting into QAnon because it's the big thing. I think it's people who have been pulled into it through sort of mainline MAGA politics. One thing, again, that I think is interesting is how QAnon ideas have managed to seep their way so much into the Trump campaign and the Republican Party.
Really?
There's now three, at least, House Republican candidates who have endorsed QAnon. Now, admittedly, they haven't won their primary, so that remains to be seen whether they'll actually be competing in the general election. So you have House candidates endorsing it. Again, a speaker at a Trump rally who used the QAnon slogan, although he now denies it. QAnon people getting invited to the White House. And I think, understandably, I mean, they don't see it as some kind of nefarious scheme. They sort of see QAnon and Trump as going hand in hand. But by sort of cloaking what they really really believe in more mundane Trumpisms that you would hear on Fox News, I think they're able to win more adherents. For example, at this QAnon rally, I was asking folks what they liked about QAnon. And they said, well, you know, I like that it's exposing the corruption. Well, you know, to the average voter, you know, you don't like corruption. But then, you know, they were very kind of cagey about what that corruption was. And then I said, you know, well, what do you really mean? And then that's when they start getting into the cannibal stuff and everything. So I think they've been relatively successful in portraying it as sort of just like, oh, QAnon, it's about how Trump's good. But, I mean, when you really sort of have to dig, and I think that's sort of the gateway, and then you kind of keep looking. And, you know, there's a lot of, like, they have, like, awareness bands that'll say, like, Google QAnon, sort of in the same way that Ron Paul fans would have signs that would say, like, Google Ron Paul. Mm. And so you kind of get into it from there, and then, you know, depending on your level of interest or how much it appeals to you, you kind of get more and more into it.
Hmm. So do you have any hope to offer us?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, QAnon seems to be losing a little steam since it's off 8chan. But, you know, should 8chan come back, or someone could sort of pick up the mantle of QAnon? You know, there's a lot of allegations about who's behind QAnon, whether it's been sort of gone through multiple identities, whether someone sort of has wrested control of the handle. And so I think it's always going to exist in some form. And I think relatively soon, whether it's on 8chan or somewhere else, someone's going to realize. Because, I mean, people are making, like, real money off of this. I mean, there was someone recently who sort of a – not even the biggest QAnon personality who just raised, like, $150,000 to sell a book about QAnon. And so, you know, I think it'll always be around in some form. I think there's even a sense on the right, I would say, among younger voters that QAnon is ridiculous. I mean, when you think about sort of your Pepe the Frog type alt-right young Trump supporters, often racist ones, you know, who are on these forums, I mean, they find QAnon really embarrassing, and they think it's kind of a thing for their grandparents. So, you know, certainly with the younger generations, QAnon is more out of favor. But you know, I think more broadly the questions are, you know, how disinformation like QAnon and all sorts of other things, how it spreads on social media, you know, what are platforms like YouTube doing about it? I mean, YouTube is where QAnon has had a lot of success spreading. There's a really well-produced video that explains it in a very evangelist way that's been endorsed by, among others, comedian Roseanne Barr and former baseball pitcher Curt Schilling. So you can see how it sort of picks up steam on these platforms. And I think a big question is how they handle this kind of information existing on their platforms.
So the FBI has said that it's looking into white supremacist groups as potential terrorist threats to the United States. Is there any sense that there are government agents looking into QAnon?
Certainly. Well, so a FBI memo that was circulated amongst law enforcement a few months ago tagged QAnon, among other things, as a potential source of domestic terror. Mm. Now, I mean, they were saying essentially that not that all QAnon people are terrorists or something, but that it can inspire violence. And again, I mean, as we've seen, it has. So there is that sense that the government's looking into it. I'd be really surprised if the FBI wasn't trying to figure out or doesn't know who is behind these QAnon posts. But on the other hand, you know, as we've seen in terms of the FBI's and the Department of Homeland Security's relatively sluggish reaction to white supremacist terror, I mean, this is another far-right, potentially dangerous group. And the larger sense, I think, is that they're not working particularly hard on it. I think there are some possibilities for prosecution, whether that be QAnon, whoever's behind that, or some of these hucksters, I think. They are there's a lot of money being exchanged here and a lot of false identities and a lot of sort of claims to be representing the government. So I think there are possible law enforcement possibilities there. But certainly right now we haven't seen a whole lot of action outside of that FBI memo.
So you mentioned that QAnon supporters are often the most diehard Trump supporters. Is QAnon going to be a help for President Trump then, or a hindrance?
I think QAnon in 2020 will absolutely be a help, presuming that, you know, Trump doesn't come out and say either QAnon is fake. But see, even if he did denounce it or something, the QAnon people would just say, well, yeah, that's all part of the plan. You know, he can't blow the lid on his, you know, secret covert endeavors against the deep state. He's got to say this and, you know, we know the truth, what have you. At the same time, I mean, these people are one of the most key elements to understand about QAnon is that it is sort of devotion to Trump to the extent that, you know, sometimes they lose their family members or they lose their partners. When I was at this QAnon rally, it was just across the street from the White House. And, you know, they said, you know, we love our dear president. They call him Q plus because they sort of see him as mega Q. And, you know, they just cheered him. I mean, it is it absolutely whether I think it's a combination of people who are drawn to QAnon because they love Trump so much. But then it's also people who get really into QAnon and then say, well, who's the hero of this? Well, it's Trump. I guess I'll get really into Trump. And so I think QAnon has a way of turning people or really activating people into being really hardcore Trump fans.
Thank you for coming. It was great.
Great. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Over the past four episodes, we've explored why there are good reasons for Americans to wonder if their government is conspiring against them. It has done so before in ways that would seem improbable and bizarre if we did not, to our sorrow, know better. We know the CIA secretly tested hallucinogenic drugs on U.S. citizens. We know the FBI has illegally spied on Americans. We know the White House has conducted conspiracies to hide its lawless subversion of the Constitution. In some ways, you could argue that to know the basic facts of recent American history is to be a conspiracy theorist. But though I started my research on conspiracy theories with some sympathy for their supporters, I've come to see these theories as fundamentally dangerous, though not always in the ways you'd think. One of my favorite quotes about conspiracy theories comes from Thomas Pynchon. If they can get you asking the wrong questions, they don't have to worry about answers. There are a lot of obvious problems with conspiracy theories. They can endanger individuals, groups, and public health and safety. But as Pynchon points out, they can also have more subtle effects. They can get us asking the wrong questions. In this way, conspiracy theories can be weaponized by people with power. We try to solve mysteries that aren't all that mysterious. We look for alternative facts, though the real facts are right in front of us. We choose to believe the posts of some random person on the internet instead of the scientific papers of people who, by any reasonable estimate, count as experts in their fields. Americans have always entertained conspiracy theories. They are as much a part of the American way as baseball and apple pie. That Americans believe such theories now is not unusual. What is different today is that people in power routinely and indiscriminately spread these theories with a specific and very ambitious goal. The goal of destroying our faith in government, science, and any kind of community spirit. They manipulate our well-founded skepticism about our government and try to transform that skepticism into cynicism. Skepticism is essential to the functioning of democracy. Cynicism destroys democracy. Sometimes these theories seem so ludicrous that they don't seem worth our time and energy. Why should we bother combating them? But I think it's very important to continue to fight for facts and for truth. To tell people, no, the Democratic Party is not a pedophile ring, and lizard people are not real. We can't just laugh off these theories or ignore them. Our democracy is at stake. State of Conspiracy is produced by Caroline Reston and Elisa Gutierrez. Our engineers this week were Kyle Seglin, Noel Fernandez, and Genevieve Bowman. Our editor is Daniel Carissimi.